Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy, busy 3-hour program lined up. In an hour, we'll talk NBA with Keith Smith. 90 minutes, Connor Allen. Who did a great job tracking player props in the NFL last year, season-long player props. You're going to want to hear what his research told him at that time. Pat Forty on college football in 2 hours and Major League Baseball with our buddy Matt Vasgersia coming up back into the program. Paulie, yesterday on our show, Zach Jackson joined us. We had a guest on. He covers the Cleveland Browns, and he told us that within the next week, maybe two, we should learn about the fate of Deshaun Watson and how long his suspension could be for this year, and he leaned towards like a year. Well, also this week, Albert Breer was on a Cleveland radio station. Albert Breer has covered the NFL for a long, long time. He said that there's actually been some good news for the Watson camp this week, and that some of the stuff that you could read out there with the tea leaves, that it might not be a year for him. And then driving around this morning, I heard two former football players. One, Brady Quinn, who played for the Browns for a while. He said it's looking like 4 to 6 games for him, in his opinion. Followed by LeVar Arrington, who said they made a number at 9.5. He goes, yeah, I'd bet the under on that right now.
People will scream, holy hell, and I'll be one of them if he gets the same as Brady. Can you imagine if it's only 4 games and the NFL trotted out all these people and didn't have a lot of proof, but trotted out all these people and leaked stuff about he broke his foot? You're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time in defamation of character and throwing him under the bus, all for a little, what they couldn't prove, just a little bitty tiny error out of a football.
Uh-huh.
And then you have 65 women that the New York Times has spoken to, and 26, but no, the NFL's going to blow this, possibly. But
they are, because the NFL, according to reports, right, they've talked to, I believe, a dozen women. So it's nowhere, it's not, that's like half.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want to go based on the New York Times report, that's like a slice. That's a small sliver of who they talked to.
Yeah, and also, according to reports presenting their case, they didn't get into did he use any threats or coercion or that type of thing, which was outlined in one of the women that spoke to the New York Times about, I can't even say what he did on the air, but what happened at the end of one of the massages, what he was doing. But it was the same type of deal when they talked to all these girls about, you know, I don't want to be covered up. I don't want to wear any, and it just, and pushing their hands towards certain areas.
Now, there's also this that would potentially help out Watson. There was an adult son of one of the accusers who evidently claims the mom told him, what I originally told you about Deshaun Watson, yeah, forget about that. And then what, offered to pay the kid off?
Yes.
On top of that?
The son intimated his mother intended to reward his silence, per league source. There's a feeling that the NFL was cagey about details they learned from the woman's son, Josina Anderson. After only mentioning they interviewed him in the report, the son's recording was later reviewed by Watson's side, presumably illuminating why this particular accuser was not included with the five women that the NFL focused on the hearing. It's also unclear whether the woman in question has settled her claims against Watson. Of the 24 plaintiffs, 20 have resolved their claims. That's unfortunate, but then again, you still have all these other women to worry about, and you're up to 26, but that's the accusers and how many it is if you said massages and all this other business. But this is, who knows? I mean, I would like to know what they're asking. Are they really asking for zero or four? Because the NFL wants a year. What are they coming back with the counter if they can't even come close to a settlement?
I will be stunned if he gets four games.
So will I.
And I will not be happy based on the bets that I've made.
Yeah, and I would be surprised with eight. But who knows what she's going to do? I mean, again, as I understand it, the league put this lady in place. So if there's...
Yes, they did.
Right. And so if there is a ruling that they don't like, they'll just say, okay, we're going to find somebody else.
So I would read the market on this, right? Because the number of wins for the Browns, the playoff odds, and the juice to this team. Again, they went from, you know, will they win 10 games? They were favored to win 10 games. And to go over 9.5 points to under 9.5 was like -230. And to miss the playoffs the day after the New York Times report came out, I grabbed +130 on the note. They were favored to make the playoffs and to win 10 games.
Yeah.
That flipped. Well, if those numbers start to move a little bit, it's like, yeah, well, maybe Watson doesn't get a full year. Maybe it's going to be somewhere in that 6 or 8 game range.
Yeah. I thought everything was accurate when you wanted to compare it to Ridley. People referenced what happened to Bauer with baseball.
And
you're going to give a guy the same as like a pot suspension?
That's
a guy
the number ganja? One analogy in comparison that you have to use.
Yeah.
And now I guess people can come back and say, well, he already got a year. But I don't think you can look at what happened last year and connect it to – you can't say that he already missed a full year, so the NFL can't give him another year.
That's what they're saying, his side. That's lunacy.
Right.
That's
– Yeah, that doesn't jive with me. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I will we know by next Friday? A week from today, we'll be on the air knowing the result of the suspension for Watson.
I would hope so. I would think so. I mean, they have to move on this.
Yeah,
because of how the season's right around the corner. But they butchered this from the get-go, though. I mean, while this was going on, you had women, you had still accusers were coming out left and right. You had the HBO interview on Real Sports. You had the New York Times article.
Yep.
So, incredible. Incredible news.
So we go from that to, I'll ask the question, are the Nets really going to take this seriously with Kevin Durant demanding a trade? And I will ask that based on the news that came out last night. This is Vince Goodwill, who covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports, and he was on Chris Haynes' podcast, right? And Chris Haynes has covered the NBA for a long time. I think you're going in fresh to this one. The Nets, according to this report, offered KD, they called up the Timberwolves, and they offered Kevin Durant for Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and 4 first-round picks.
Now we know who the GM is that said the report that I want that the Suns could give up Bridges, Ayton, and 5 first round picks and Cam Johnson, and it's not enough.
Mm.
This is ridiculous. He's 20 years old. This guy's 34 years old.
So this
he's played 15 years in the league.
So evidently the Timberwolves did call right away and they asked about Durant, And this is what they came back
with. They said.
So they're just, if a team bites, they're like, hell, we'll take this deal. But they're not serious about trading him. There's no chance.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Did they actually think deep down inside when we made this phone call or picked up the phone, whatever way it went, like, hey, we're going to offer this and they might take it? There's absolutely zero chance on earth the Timberwolves would even consider that deal.
Yeah. Brian Windhorst, the Nets thought there was going to be a tremendous bidding war. And while there's a lot of interest, the bidding war isn't hot right now. Yeah, because this is what you're asking for.
Yeah.
This is crazy. And the Gobert trade ruined it too, because in the Nets, but we call this might take this. Who knows how long this stretches?
Well,
out.
If this goes
to camp.
If this is the asking price on the Nets side, then it's not. It's going to go nowhere until they actually get realistic about this.
Give me a break. I mean, the I'm listening to a ton of podcasts, and the talk is, what would you do with Barnes, who won Rookie of the Year? I mean, is it Barnes and Gary Trent and picks? Toronto feels that's the best offer. I mean, that's what, and then they're coming over the top, and this is what they're asking for. And what, give me a break.
I mean, those two offers are not even close.
All you need to know is they don't have any interest in Ayton, too, about how they're negotiating and try their doing a deal. So the Nets are being ridiculous here. But again, Mark's, his job's on the line, so he has to get this right. Because as he said, he just, anything they asked for. Hey, how about Jordan for $30 million? Bring our friend in. Get rid of Allen. Get rid of this coach. Let's go with Nash.
Sure.
I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
What they're doing. That's asinine. The best deal I like is Zach Lowe.
Okay.
Phoenix gets Durant, Bridges, Johnson, and picks to the Nets, Mitchell to the Nets, Ayton, and Ben Simmons to the Jazz. That I like. Let's go.
So the Suns would get Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell?
No. Mitchell goes to the Nets.
To the Nets, okay.
Yeah, Mitchell, it's all these teams are involved. It's Mitchell, pick swap, Bridges, Johnson, more picks to the Nets, Ayton and Simmons to Utah, okay. KD to Phoenix.
Okay, actually, okay. Now that I have it all lined up straight, doesn't that work out pretty well for all three teams?
I concur, yes. But the clock's ticking here because the Pacers, that's the other thing. The more the Suns, the Nets screw around here, you have to make a move. The Pacers want Ayton, and the Pacers, as of tomorrow, can sign Ayton to an offer sheet. Once that is done, then you cannot do a sign and trade with Ayton.
That's all that has to happen, folks.
Yeah.
So the longer the Nets, drag their feet on this, a team can come in, sign him, and then that's off. That's done. The idea of this team trading for Ayton and using Durant in that package, see you later. Can't happen anymore. That's all a team has to do. And a team like the Pacers, they're going to probably do this sooner than later. So I think that's kind of going to be the news that we get over the weekend. So that trade is going to be off the table then.
Uh-huh. Damn. Well, you have to negotiate in good faith. They're not doing that. I mean, come on, give me a break, you asked for that. In what world? I mean, that's why if Toronto does this, you're giving up a guy who's 20 years old. I mean, you're thinking about, the guy has 15 years left to play.
Absolutely.
Durant might have 5 max.
Sure.
And he has it. You can't just ask, give me a 20-year-old for a 34-year-old. Are you crazy?
That's every single time the Nets ask for someone like that, you have to take that into consideration. It's like the T-Wolves. First of all, the trade is absurd. But Karl-Anthony Towns is still a relatively young player in the league, and he's very good. Edwards is like 20 years old. You're going to give up your entire future and picks, present and future, for a guy who has I don't know how many years left?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be thinking about this logically, folks.
Lunacy. Absolute lunacy.
The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at betrivers.com. Coming up next, we will recap the betting action from last night in Win Some, Lose Some, in a sad day yesterday, a tribute to a true legend who passed away, here on Follow the Money.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, BetRivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, so I did make one NFL MVP bet this week, and I want to go back over the last couple of years and explain kind of my theory on betting the NFL MVP. And that is, like, look, when you look at the odds right now, and we briefly touched on this yesterday, a quarterback wins this award an overwhelming amount of the time, right? But you have so many
That's
guys.
Being kind.
Oh, I know. It's
14 of 15 years.
The last nine and then 14 of the last 15.
God.
Doesn't matter what an individual skilled player does not playing quarterback. Look at last year as a perfect example. Cooper Kupp.
I know.
What else can a wide receiver do?
Taylor had great numbers too.
Jonathan Taylor, and he was in the national narrative in November, Jonathan Taylor. So he did everything he could, right? Yeah. So I'll take you back to the pandemic year when I thought there was a chance then Derrick Henry could go for 2,000 yards and maybe 20 touchdowns. But that's kind of like, it's probably unfair to running backs, but I think that's the baseline or the floor that a running back has to hit for the national media to really think about giving it to a running back. And I thought they were going to give it to him enough. I thought he was absolutely hitting his prime, and he hit those numbers. He never won the award because Rodgers was so good playing quarterback, right? But I bet Henry that year at 100-1. I look at non-quarterbacks, and I try to predict breakout years from a running back based on projected usage and their betting number, and I want to get ahead of that before it moves and they have a great start to the season. And then I can come swooping in and grab a great quarterback during the year. Last year, I thought Jonathan Taylor was going to break out for the Colts. All the signs were there. He was going to be the number one running back on a team that had potentially the best offensive line in football, and they were going to run the ball a lot because Carson Wentz was going to be their quarterback. I had him at 500-1. Well, when you bet a guy like that at 500-1, he turns into a guy who could potentially win it. And then I was adding Cooper Kupp at 100, 200, and believe it or not, he was on the board at 500-1 last year. So when I go to war with Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp, and they're actually in the mix, then I can go, I'm actually building my middle before the season starts. Now, the key is you got to hit it right with the players, otherwise they're going to be dead tickets. I get that. So I could fail and be on the wrong guy before the season starts. I understand that. But that's part of doing the homework and realizing who can potentially have a bust-out year. Like this year, I'm not going to be betting Kupp. I'm certainly not going to be betting Jonathan Taylor at 80-1. I will see if I can find a running back at 500-1 again this year, but it's going to be tough. I did find a wide receiver that I bet. I will tell you about that next week because not all books have odds up yet. So I don't want to name names yet, but I will do that next week.
You asked me yesterday. It's too tricky with all these quarterbacks. I just thought Allen 6-7-1. Come on. Come on. What are we doing?
And that's my angle on this, right?
Yeah.
Like we could bring on 8 consecutive like guests or bettors who have plunked down money on a quarterback, and I could hear them out, and I'd say, that's an unbelievable case. You can convince me on Allen, Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers again, Herbert, Burrow, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, and maybe a couple of others. But right now, before the season, that to me, that's a dart throw. I don't know which guy's going to have the best season, but I will gladly take my chances with the guy right now between 300 and 500-1. Again, projecting that he's going to hit his career year. And then at the end of the year or during the season, when a quarterback takes off, I'll come back and fire. Like last year, when I had Taylor and Kupp, and I cornered the market with those two guys, and Rodgers turned into like a plus 140 favorite or even money, I was firing on all cylinders on Aaron Rodgers to win. Because there was a chance I could back that up then with unbelievable numbers on Taylor and Kupp, and I had the front runner and the favorite at that point. That's the way I've done it the last couple of years, and that's the way I'm going to do it again this year.
Okay. Excellent. But it's hard to get there with a running back or a wide receiver
What happened. It really
is. Just in the 14 to the last 15, it's been a quarterback. And then when you want to look at the quarterbacks, well, everyone knows that, and they're all in the 8 to 9 to 10 to 11 range.
It sure is.
So, yeah, I think Stafford, 15 to 1, is wasting money. And a lot of these other I wouldn't want Herbert at 10 to 1. No way.
I can see Herbert, like, getting into the mix.
Putting up big numbers,
season,
yeah.
But also, but preseason, I'm not going to take him 10 to 1.
Yeah.
There's also, like, I'm not gonna bet Kupp or Taylor, like I said, because if Kupp actually, if he could somehow get close to what he did last year, well, then you got to really start to think, you know, he's going to be Randy Moss and Jerry Rice territory suddenly.
I was going to say that. Remember the year Moss had some unbelievable seasons, historic seasons, and he wasn't in the mix. It's like, who gets credit for the touchdown passes?
Correct.
They're giving it to the quarterback, like 07 with Brady. Well, he just threw so many of them. But Moss had like 24 touchdowns that year.
Yeah. Go back and look.
One year, Moss averaged 100 yards and a touchdown for the whole season per game.
Yeah.
And wasn't in the mix. So
the year that Davante Adams had 2 years ago, he got hurt and missed 2.5 games. He was on pace to have like 140 catches for nearly 2,000 yards and 20-plus touchdowns. They never would have given him the award. It was going to go to Aaron Rodgers because he was so good. So a wide receiver actually, that's why it was so, like, when Kupp won the Super Bowl MVP last year, like, that doesn't really happen either. Now, I know they gave it to Edelman in recent years, but usually it goes to the quarterback of the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that, and also the running back to lead the league in rushing this year. How many guys can actually do this?
That's a good point. It's a short list to me. Henry, obviously, what he's done, and he's going to be the focal point of the offense to get a ton of carries. Likewise with Taylor. I guess they might throw it more. They have a quarterback they actually trust. Chubb. I could see Harris, 12-1. Steelers, Najee. But I wanted to make the case for getting nuts with Hall with the Jets because they love him. But he's going to probably split carries. And that's just, I can't get there with many guys. Kamara's going to be suspended. McCaffrey's always hurt. Akers, McVay, you know, plays carousel with the running backs.
Sure.
Zeke Elliott at 18-1? No way. Absolutely not.
No, not a chance.
I mean, he's winding down. His career's almost over. I think it's only four or five guys you can make a case. I might be kind there saying that many. Maybe Mixon. But Dalvin Cook's always hurt too.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bet on Dalvin Cook. And by the way, Madison gets carries.
Yes, that's another one.
So Mixon, maybe, because if they get up to a big lead and they really improve their offensive line in the offseason, and then they just run the ball to kind of milk the clock. And but they're aggressive too. I don't know if they would maybe Mixon. I don't. Does Chubb make sense with the other guys that will get carries on the team, including Hunt?
Yeah,
they certainly have the offensive line there. Henry again for sure can win it. Jonathan Taylor, yes. I thought about Najee Harris at 14-1 as well, because he is going to be, again, the number one guy getting all those touches this year for the Steelers, but I'm concerned about the offensive line again.
Yeah. And how many carries will Damian Harris get? Maybe Dobbins, right? You lose Hollywood? You figure they love to run the ball anyways?
He's probably the longest shot in the board on the, what you're seeing on the screen right now that I can make a case for. Yeah, you're exactly right. Love to run the ball. He's going to have to be the number one option. I know Gus Edwards is coming back as well. But Dobbins, if fully healthy, is the best running back on that team in 25-1, maybe. But it really does come down to like three or four guys. Again, I'm going to draw a line through Delvin Cook. And then anybody below Damian Harris, including him, I'm not going to touch, with maybe the exception of Dobbins. I think it comes down to Taylor, Henry, and probably Chubb.
Yeah.
Again, I want to make the case for Harris, but I can't get there with it.
Yeah. Shop around, too. There's some big differences with Mixon, what you can find, and where he's at.
Oh, yeah?
I've seen 9. I've seen 15. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
How about Mitchell with the 49ers, especially if it's going to be Lance? I don't know. Shanahan's great with the running plays.
He's awesome
and
with
the
that.
Creativity. Maybe not. Or McDaniel got some credit for that, too. But
yeah, the thing is, they always find like another guy to still carries with. I know they lost some other guys in the offseason, but they will probably find another guy in the roster we've never even heard of, because who knew Elijah Mitchell at this point last year? Nobody, right? And also, I'd be concerned if Lance cannot throw the ball, and if he's going to be the guy, then teams are just going to game plan to shut down Mitchell the entire time. That'd be my initial read on that. But it's not. You can make a case for probably like 8 or 10 receivers to lead the league in receiving yards.
Oh, yeah.
Here with rushing,
no way. Yep.
The first hour here of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. You can get a 100% first deposit match bonus now with the code 250MATCH. Must be 21 plus. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules. FTM at VSIN.com is the email here. FTM at VSIN.com. Also on Instagram at VSIN Live, Mitch Moss and Paulie Does Vegas. Up next, NBA. Keith Smith is going to join the program, covers the league. Landing spots for Ayton, potentially for Donovan Mitchell, and are the Nets going to get serious about trading Kevin Durant? We'll ask them all that coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetRivers Sportsbook app has a huge number of live streaming events every day. BetRivers Sportsbook has great offers, including a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, and all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Amazing offers and great customer service makes BetRivers your hometown sportsbook. First, your hometown sportsbook. First, your hometown sportsbook. First, your hometown.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook invites you to add some variety to your baseball bets with new same-game parlays every game this season. You can combine game bets and player props to create your perfect combo. Whether you're looking to increase your payouts on favorites or make your own long shot, add a little extra spice to your game with same-game parlays at Bet Rivers. Go to the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app or BetRivers.com and make your baseball same-game parlays today.
Okay, we'll talk some season-long player props in the NFL coming up here with Connor Allen. 4for4.com, also BetSperts, and you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Connor Allen NFL. Connor, thanks for the time today. Before we get into what your research showed you from a year ago in the NFL, you had a great tweet about the draft last night and how these players to go number one overall, like in weeks leading up to the draft, they were 10, 15, 20, 30 to 1 to go. It happened again last night in the NHL.
Oh, yeah, absolutely insane. I mean, we're looking at, in the NFL draft, Travon Walker, I mean, 2 weeks before the draft, 2 to 3 weeks, was 30-1 to go first overall. In the NBA draft, Paolo Banchero was, 22-1 2 weeks before the draft, and even the night of, was actually a heavy, heavy underdog. And then NHL, Slavkovsky was 10-1 2 weeks before the draft to go number one. And as you had alluded to prior, Wright opened at -5,000 to be the first overall pick. All of those guys, Slavkovsky, Banchero, and Walker, all went first overall at heavy, heavy, long odds there.
And then the guy goes fourth overall. That's the other thing. He doesn't even go second, right? He falls to fourth. So you also could have made money if you nailed the second pick and the third pick.
And absolutely.
Those were 10 and 15 to 1.
And Wright to go fourth was, I thought, like
60-1.
60-1 not that long ago.
That's right.
Yeah. The books just don't account for the volatility of this kind of things. And I think that's been one of the biggest money makers for these drafts, at least for, the bettors, is, okay, if this player doesn't go first overall, where does he go? So I actually took like a Jabari Smith 40-1 to go third overall as well.
Beautiful.
Because, if he didn't go one, I thought that there was still a good chance. It was like 50-50 that, Holmgren went two. So, and that obviously played out. And it shouldn't be 40-1.
Yeah, I had the same thing. That was my same thinking as well. Good for you as well. So you have a great thread on Twitter at Connor Allen NFL, and sportsbooks have posted hundreds of props, season-long props in the NFL. Number one, the public likes to bet what they want to see. They want the big names to go over. They want games over. They want props over, high scoring, touchdowns, yards, all that. So that's the first thing. But when you go back, what did you find in your research? And you also make several good points in this about, well, a lot has to go right just to be in position to cash in over on a season-long prop.
Yeah, absolutely. So my research, I looked at all the season-long player props, the closing lines last year, and found that if you just took it, looked at all of them, they went under 66% of the time. And if you broke that down by category, you're looking at, passing yard totals went under 74% of the time, passing touchdowns, 74%, rushing touchdowns, 76%. Every single category that I've tracked actually went under, and more than 55% of the time, in every other category except for receiving touchdowns, under 60% of the time. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of reasons that make a ton of sense here. The biggest one here being injuries. So, for quarterbacks or running backs or wide receivers, if they get injured, obviously all they have to do is play a snap. And most sportsbooks, obviously check with your sportsbook before betting that. Some you have to start week one, but most of them you have to just play a snap in the season. And if they get injured, the under hits. Beyond that, too, if they're a wide receiver, if their quarterback is out for a couple games, obviously their efficiency goes down. If the offense's efficiency goes down, they run less plays. So there's a lot that goes into this. And beyond that, they have to, for them to hit the over on everything, everything has to go right. They can't have any off-field issues. They have to be in good shape. They have to make sure that they are efficient themselves as players. So I feel like betting against that kind of human achievement makes a lot of sense for unders. I personally just didn't expect the results to be so skewed towards the unders. I was expecting more of like a 60-40, but definitely not 66, 33.
That is pretty crazy. And so that's 243 props from last year that you looked at. Out of all of them, the passing, the receiving, the rushing, there's certainly going to be more props available for receiving just because we have more receivers in the league that they're going to post props for than like running backs or quarterbacks for sure. But was there a category that was more profitable than any of the others?
Yeah, so the most profitable in terms of hit rate would be rushing touchdowns. Out of the 17 bets, 13 of them went under.
Wow.
In terms of pure volume, receiving yards, 97 total bets, 66% of them went under. If you just looked at how many units you would have won, if you just risked to win one unit on every single bet, you would have been up 27 or 26 units if you just blindly bet every single under on receiving yards last year.
So this is from 2021. My guess is if you went back and looked, and it might be tough finding data going all the way back, many, many years on this, but my guess is, Connor, that over other individual years, 2020, 2019, 2018, whatever, it might not be at this kind of clip, but I'm going to guess that the unders come in probably an overwhelming amount of the time compared to the overs.
Oh, yeah. So I actually don't personally have the data, but I had someone reach out to me who's been a professional in Vegas for a while and said that he's tracked this for the last 13 years. And then it's been over 60% consistently every single year.
Oh, there you go.
That totally, it makes sense. It is pretty wild that being able to bet the unders on all this stuff is so profitable.
Did that said professional gambler tell you that he does this every single year? He just blindly bets them, or how does he get involved?
No, I mean, I think that he goes through them kind of similar to, you know, my process as well. But, you know, just like 90% of his bets are unders. He just picks and chooses and goes heavier on that rather than just solely blindly betting.
Yeah, yeah. So what would be your biggest takeaway from this, from people listening right now, and they're going to look at all these season-long props that are now starting to hit the board in several sports books? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I would personally just tell them that when in doubt, you should be leaning towards the under. And if you have an overplay, you have to feel like this line should be off by, you know, 30, 40%. When you look at the average amount a play went over, they went over by 25% if you looked at the average line. So, I mean, you have to feel really, really strongly about that. And you have to get lucky, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, for injury. So I've already played, I think it's 9 season-long props, and I think 8 of them are unders. So, you know, really heavy lean towards the under for me.
What's the over you bet?
It was Travis Etienne combined rushing and receiving yards.
Okay.
Because I think that, I mean, James Robinson is going to come back slow from his injury, and I don't think he's going to play much of a role. They're probably going to have Etienne on the field for almost, you know, all the plays here with, you know, former college quarterback Trevor Lawrence. I think is going to help him keep him on the field. And, you know, I just expect him, his role to be a lot bigger than what the odds they're projecting, which is right now it's combined 1,000 rushing and receiving yards. You know, I think that's a little light. I think that he's a good bet to get closer to like 1,400, 1,500. Our projections at 4-4, I believe, have him at like 1,200. So
okay.
A good chunk over.
Do you mind if I ask which state you live in and how many books you have access to?
Yeah, so I live in Illinois, and all of them would be, I think it's like 6 or something like that total. So and we have like Barstool, BetMGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, PointsBet, Caesars.
There you go. And you've made eight unders. Care to share any of the, maybe a couple that you like?
Yeah, sure. So one I actually just played yesterday, Ryan Tannehill, I took under 3,700 passing yards. I mean, last season he barely got over that number without Derrick Henry, so they had to go a little bit pass heavier. Mm. You know, lost A.J. Brown, and they now have like 30-year-old Robert Woods coming off the torn ACL. Rookie Treylon Burks, who they drafted, he's pretty raw, you know, had reportedly having conditioning asthma issues already. I just doubt that Tannehill matches his 7 yards per attempt, 67% completion rate. They also drafted Malik Willis, so yeah. I think that's like a, you know, a non-zero chance of seeing time. So, you know, we were projected for like 3,500 passing yards, and I just think that the floor here for Tannehill is super, super low.
Very cool. Hey, man, that was an excellent job tweeting all that stuff out, doing all the research on that. There's no doubt that it took hours upon hours to probably find all this stuff. And you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Connor Allen NFL, 4for4.com, and also BetSports. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you.
243 season-long props from last year. Yep. And then the pro better he talked about the last 13 years been 60% pretty much every single year better.
Both passing yards and passing touchdown props went under 74% of the time, and you made to almost 12 units. Almost all of them were correlated. If the player went under their passing yards, they likely also hit the under on touchdowns.
Makes sense, right?
Yes. And then the taking the under on receiving yardage prop was the most profitable from a units one perspective. Netting 26 units and hitting 66% has the most volume available at 97 total bets.
Yeah, and that does make a lot of sense, right? Yeah. Because you're going to be able to find more receiver props in any other position, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Tannehill makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. As soon as he said the name, I'm like, yep, okay, I'm on board.
Yep, yep.
Sure. All of that he broke down.
The breakdown.
I lost A.J. Brown, 30-year-old Robert Woods off an injury.
Could lose his job.
They drafted a quarterback. Yeah.
Henry back.
All that makes some sense.
Yep.
All right. Good stuff there from Connor Allen. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we will do a little college football. This report that came out last night, I don't know what to make of this because Pat Forty and Dan Wetzel were laughing about it. So who knows? We will run down what that report was saying that took off yesterday. Teams that could be joining the SEC and the Heisman market saw some pretty significant movement yesterday. Wonder why that was. We'll tell you why coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Ben Hayes, best bet of the month, only $10 when you use VSiN Ben90 at checkout. Pick will be released at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, 5-0 with his daily best bets. And use VSiN Ben90 at checkout promo code to get it for $10. Get up there now, winners and whiners, and the pick will be coming at noon Eastern.
All right, let's continue this college football discussion as the great Pat Forty joins the program, Sports Illustrated, the College Football Inquirer podcast as well. Pat, thanks for the time. I was listening to the podcast last night, so I know what you and Wetzel think about this tweet from Braden Keith at SwimSwam. According to a source, North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, and Virginia are all negotiating to join the SEC. ESPN is trying to avoid their TV deal with the ACC. Can you explain to our audience what you think of that report?
Yeah, well, I know Braden, nice guy, does a good job with the SwimSwam website covering swimming, the sport that only I care about. But let me just say that I had people in the involved conferences in his tweet sending me really amused texts yesterday, like, oh, really? This is happening, huh? And we're going to let SwimSwam break it, huh? So I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that. I do not think that the ACC is in imminent demise and that the SEC is imminently ready to poach them of four schools.
Okay. All right. As a guy who covers and loves college football and college basketball, how do you feel about this? I mean, who even knows how many conferences we'll have when the TV deal's up?
Yeah, it's depressing. It's infuriating. It's insulting, I think, to what really most of the fans want. Fans don't root for revenue for their schools.
Yeah,
they root for their teams to win. They want to have rivals who they know who they are, that are neighbors. They want to be able to jump in the car on a Friday and drive to a road game on a Saturday. You know, they want to go to the office or a school or something and talk smack with people that went to the rival school. You can't do any of those things when you are in Los Angeles and the rest of your league is on either on the East Coast or the Upper Midwest. It doesn't work. And so I just think you're losing. We just are steadily eroding most of the things that have made college football fun and appealing. And, you know, mm-hmm. I just think that if the answer is always just to shrug and say, because revenue, then I think that's a very short-sighted, self-serving, narrow-minded answer that is, again, we got to look out for ourselves and nobody cares about the sport as a whole.
Now, that is a great answer.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, you summed up the state of this, you know, of NCAA right now. So then what do you think is next, though? Like, what's going to happen with teams like or programs like Oregon and Washington? Where do you think Stanford goes? Where do you think Notre Dame ends up? Are the latter two there tied together possibly?
Yeah, fascinating, really, you know, those dynamics with the Pac-12, Pac-10, whatever you want to call it, whether it can stay together. Oregon and Washington absolutely would go to the Big Ten by noon today if they could. The Big Ten has clearly put the brakes on that. The belief is that they are mostly interested in Notre Dame. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. But then the issue is Notre Dame really doesn't feel compelled to do anything right now. And so if Notre Dame feels like it can sit chilly and just and be what it wants to be, which is an independent, for as long as it can, then everything else, does it go crumb to a halt or not? And so Oregon and Washington could be sitting there waiting forever, or they could decide we're going to jump in with the rest of the Pac-10 and try to make a go of it. Or they could, you know, they could talk to the Big 12. They probably already have had some discussions there. You know, it's Oregon and Washington, I guess you would describe as tweeners to a degree.
Okay.
Like, you could say they're better than everyone else in the Pac-10 and probably everyone in the current Big 12, but are they considered attractive enough to go to the Big 10 right now? Maybe not. So, you know, they're kind of caught in this limbo and waiting for Notre Dame to give signals.
Well, I got a serious question. What the hell happened to the Alliance? That didn't even last a year. What happened?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see when there is a next playoff meeting and George Kliakoff comes in and shows Kevin Warren the stab wound in his back from when they took USC and UCLA there. I mean, the Alliance was a complete sham from the get-go. We should have known, and there was a lot of eye-rolling at the time. Well, I think we did know, you know. It's like, is there a signed contract? No, we looked each other in the eye. Oh. Okay. Well, since college athletics is such an honorable profession, then yes, that's certainly good enough. So it was a joke, and it was exposed as a joke in less than a year.
Does Larry Scott, is this an all-time bad job? Does he get an F between you couldn't get on DirecTV? And this is, listening to your podcast, your tag team partner, Dan Wetzel, just repeatedly said dumbasses. He's right. They had a seat at the table in the playoff. These conferences at least would have had the auto bid. They might not even get that now. That ship could have sailed.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, they. Who knows how much ultimately they've given away? But you know, the turning down of a free square in the playoff is just like mind-boggling in retrospect. You know, they should have all been lobbying all along for a bigger playoff, and then as soon as they got one, they should have all signed up and said, yes, we're in, more bids, more security, more chances for us, you know. And instead, I mean, they just almost like, it's like walking into a, you know, a snake pit. I mean, they just walked right into this thing. So Larry Scott and like George Kliakoff, I think, has done a good job, but he was the one that got snookered by whoever in this last summer into saying, no, we're not, we don't want a bigger playoff, which again, just an incredible miscalculation.
Will the Big Ten and SEC then run this sport in terms of they will even control the playoff? And what will the new playoff look like? Will we even have five or six conferences by then?
Yeah, I mean, great question. They will undoubtedly run the sport. But then the unknown is, yeah, what does the playoff look like? How many are in? But you know, it was posited to me, and the theory makes sense, is that when there is a restructured playoff, the Big Ten and the SEC and Fox and ESPN, you know, walk into the room and say, this is how it's going to be. So they don't say, what do you think it should be, Jim Phillips of the ACC? What do you think at the Big 12? What do you think? No. It's going to say, this is how it's going to work, and you're going to like it. We are getting most of the bids. We're going to get at least half. This is how we're going to set this up. We're going to go strength of schedule. We're not even involving a selection committee, and strength of schedule is going to favor us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get 6 to 8 bids out of a 12-team playoff. Mm-hmm. I think everything will just line up now for more and more advantages and control for those two leagues.
That is unfortunate. So based on what you just said, are non-conference games going to go by the wayside? And these conferences will only play 12 games per year, and every game and every opponent is going to be inside their conference?
Super interesting question there. I know the ACC has had some people broach that right now as a means to make them more attractive to their own TV partner, the ESPN, say, hey, you know, can we move the needle by playing 12 conference games or 12 P5 games at least, and dropping the FCS and the G5 games and that sort of thing. We'll see what, again, TV, the amount of money TV's paying out, the more money they pay out, the more influence they get, and they want good games. They don't want to broadcast, you know, Alabama against Mercer. So, yeah. You know, that I think we're heading towards at least certainly more high-level matchups, which most of us want to see anyway. But, you know, that's the direction we're going. Whether it's a full 12-game conference-only format or not, I don't know.
Pat Forte, Sports Illustrated, College Football Inquirer podcast as well. Follow the money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If I had to ask you today, does the Pac-12 stay at 10, or does the Big 12 come in and steal some more teams, and that'll be the end of the Pac-12?
You know, it's been interesting this week just talking to people about that. I think there were some people who covered the Big 12 who were maybe led to believe that it was serious talks and well down the road and moving fast, and the Big 12 is ready to grab 4 to 6 schools from the Pac-12. I'm not sure the Pac-12 is saying the same thing. I mean, people we have talked to said, it's nowhere near imminent. There, you know, there may be some people talking about it, but the Pac-10 feels like they've got a chance to hold it together. They may consider adding schools. They may look at like a San Diego State, an SMU, something like that. But I think they feel like they've got a chance. And we reported yesterday, Ross Dellerange and I at Sports Illustrated, actually on Wednesday, that there's a potential broadcast partnership between the ACC and Pac-12 and ESPN
right. That
they think could be beneficial for all three parties and might be the kind of thing that solidifies the Pac-10 surviving schools as it is.
Right. With a title game out here too, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, that's possible. That's one of the scenarios, a title game in Las Vegas. And I would imagine it would be something that could also be movable, you know, like one year it's in Vegas, the another year it's maybe closer to the ACC footprint or whatever. But I think that's one of the things that's under discussion.
Pat, you are the best.
Yes.
Thanks so much for the time today. We really appreciate that.
My pleasure, guys. Never dull.
No, it's not.
No.
Yep.
And follow him on Twitter, @ByPat40. It's the College Football Inquirer podcast, and you can read him at Sports Illustrated.
There he's an excellent point, too. Rivalry game's gone. There you go.
That answer.
That would be, I mean, it's revenue.
You have to put yourself in, imagine just any fan in the country, wherever you live and whoever your rival is. For generations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the scenario. I mean, if Oregon and Washington were going to the Big Ten, there you go, Apple Cup.
Of course.
There you go, Civil War. I mean, that's a good point, too, about maybe a San Diego State, someone like that, and try to keep this together. And
win, lose coming up next.
Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, get up, you beast. Time for Jeff Siegel Picks. Today's top horse racing plays, Express Bet analyst. We're going to Belmont in the 5th. He likes the 4, Sidekick, at 4-1 on the morning line. In the 8th race, he also likes the 4, Parnak, on top at 5-1. You can bet on these races and more at First Bet. the top horse racing app of VSiN. If you sign up today, use the code VEGAS22. You get $100 in free bets. VSiN.com/horses for details. Exclusive offer, VSiN fans. VSiN.com/horses. Here it comes. Matty Vasgersian, MLB Network, does the Angel games and pregame spread. 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific on MLB Network. Does a great job pointing out winners and props on MLB Network. A fun show. Check that out all the time. And he joins us now. How about where you're at? I mean, the Orioles are a great story. They've won 5 in a row. They're only, what, 4 back of that third wild card. This is getting interesting here with the Orioles, and about time.
Yeah, you know, Baltimore's, they're putting together a nice little run here. And what a difference in this ballpark, you guys. I mean, honestly, when we got here yesterday, we walked down on the field just because it looks huge what they did to the left field wall. They moved it back 30 feet. And they doubled the size of the height. So they went from 7 feet to 14 feet and pushed it back 30 feet. You can see it. You can hear those numbers and think, oh, wow, that's probably a lot different. And then you see it. And then you see what it's done to the numbers, especially in their bullpen. So that bullpen for the last 4 years leading into this season had a combined ERA over that span of about 5.5. It was the worst in baseball. This year, their home bullpen has an ERA of 2.5. They shaved 3 runs off of their bullpen ERA, and it's because of this reason. Guys go out there, and instead of, you know, getting behind 1-0 and then, uh-oh, I've got to come in with a strike, and there it goes. They're pitching with so much more confidence this year. But, I mean, they're pitching well on the road, too. I don't mean to say that it's a trick number, but what it's done to their confidence is amazing. And yesterday, there were 2 balls that the Angels could have gotten right back in that game with. That, and you can quantify all this stuff on StatCast now. Trout hit a ball out there to left that would have been a homer in 23 parks. It would have been a homer last year here. And then Ohtani on the next pitch hit a ball into that same spot, into the corner, that would have been a homer in 15 parks and would have been a double off the wall here last year. It would have changed the game. But, man, the Orioles are benefiting from that, and sure, some of their hitters are grousing about it. I know Trey Mancini's lost 5 homers because of that new wall. But the proof's in the wins, man. They're a much better team, and that's a big part of it.
Okay, so this is a really good tweet that just came across my timeline here. Inside Access 1057 there in Baltimore. How about this, guys? AL teams with more wins than Baltimore in the last 30 games. They have 18. Only the Yankees, Astros, and Red Sox. AL teams with more wins than the Orioles, 13 in the last 20 games. Only Houston and Seattle. And their record since May 1st is 33-30. This is exciting.
Yeah, they're plucky. I mean, they're a backable team based on matchups. Are they going to win the division? No. Are they going to bank enough wins to be a postseason team in some capacity, wild card wise? Their biggest problem is the division they play in.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, if they play in the AL West, right, they'd be a third place team in the AL West. But it's virtually impossible to tackle that whole division right now without adding some big time, you know, payroll muscle.
Well, good timing you're on today, because your guy McClanahan goes, and he is the favorite now to win the AL Cy Young. Do you think he'll win today, and do you also have a McClanahan prop?
You know, I like his strikeout prop today. Even though those numbers aren't out, I'm guessing it's going to be 8.5. He's punched out 8, 10, and 10 over his last 3 starts. And it's always a little dicey when a guy is pitching in a new ballpark for the first time, and McClanahan has never pitched at the Great American Small Park in Cincinnati. And that can be a little bit of a high wire act for some guys. But then you look at it this way and you say, well, the Reds have never faced him anywhere, home or road. So there's that. You know, I'd back that guy. 8.5 is a big strikeout number, but, you know, he's gone over it the last couple of starts. I like him to rack up a bunch of K's today.
Okay, so there is one book in Las Vegas I'm looking at right now. They're offering 7.5, overs plus 102. Hop on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like 7.5 for him for sure.
Okay, so last night, Spencer Strider did it again. He became the first rookie in the modern era since 1900 with 11-plus strikeouts and 2 or fewer hits allowed in consecutive starts. At some books, Maddie, he's not even the shortest shot on the board to win the National League Rookie of the Year. He has to be the favorite, in my opinion, right now. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that, Mitch. It's kind of a thin field, right? I mean, as recently as like 2.5 weeks ago, O'Neill Cruz was the chalk to win NL Rookie of the Year. He had just been called up. I mean, I get it. You know, you can't take your eyes off him. He's a 6'7 shortstop, and the tools are great. But Strider is impossible to ignore now. And yesterday, what was it? The first nine outs of the game were strikeouts for Strider. Yep. And he started the year completely off the radar as a rookie reliever that nobody knew much about. And now every time he goes out there, he's punching out 9, 10, 11 batters. I agree with you. I think he's a great horse to back in rookie of the year. Before that start yesterday, by the way, they had him at plus 500 on BetMGM, and he's down to plus 350 now. So you could have gotten him at a much bigger number earlier, too.
Okay, very good. Are the Astros the best team in baseball? Are they better than the Yankees right now?
Better than the Yankees. I mean, based on their, you know, their head-to-head matchups this year, I think you got to say, yes, they can beat them when they're on the field at the same time. If they played in the same division and they played 18 times as opposed to a handful, I'm not sure that would be the same answer. But I was thinking about this the other day, talking to friends, you know, how do you not visualize one of those two teams, if not both of those two teams, in the ALCS? And if you like that idea, you know, it's, you're not getting a great price, but, you know, book both of them to win the American League Championship this year. And you're going to get one of them in that ALCS, again, if not both. I just don't see a threat to either one of those teams. I mean, when they played each other, I think they had a game at the end of June. It was the first time in Major League history that two teams had played each other before July 1st. Each with double-digit leads in their division.
Yeah,
they're going to run away with their divisions. It's not even a fair fight. I mean, the only compelling division race in the AL is in the Central.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a compelling. The AL MVP now. I mean, will Judge hit 60? What Otani's doing every night, and then Alvarez. I mean, Jason Starch just came out with his. He gave it to Alvarez with who he would go. What do you think of the AL MVP and AL Cy Young now?
Yeah, you make a good case for all three of those guys.
Yes.
You know, if Judge hits 60, it's going to be impossible to ignore. But if Ohtani continues doing what he's doing, he's got a 0.2 ERA in his last five starts. I mean, he's been unbelievable on the mound. And that's why I think he's live for Cy Young, too. He's plus 900 for Cy Young. The problem is, you know, you've got Verlander, and his narrative's been great all year, you know, having missed over 600 days of the season rehabbing. McClanahan, who we talked about, has been good. But beyond Cy Young, like, Verlander is backable. I think we've talked about this before. Every time he goes out there, lay the run and play Verlander. Because when he wins, it's not 2-1. Of his victories, only three of them have been, you know, by a run. Most of them are, you know, 2-3 run rocking chair games, as you guys say. And yesterday included in that. Like, they were trailing 2-0 yesterday afternoon, and then they manned up and they won by more than a run. So you cashed. But Cy Young, man, that one is wide open. I still like Verlander's narrative. McClanahan, we talked about preseason, he was my guy.
Yep.
And Ohtani's very live.
We're not going to get voter fatigue, though, are we? We kicked this around a couple of weeks ago, and we had a guest on who said, not according to him, like, are you going to hear voter fatigue, but according to others, you might actually hear it with Ohtani. It's year number two, Matt, of this dominating performance from him. Do you think we're going to get that?
I hope not, because, boy, that would be a shame.
Awful.
I mean, two nights ago in Miami, right, he strikes out 10, he knocks in a run, he has a game-winning RBI, and then they travel overnight. They come to Baltimore. Heads didn't hit the pillows that after that game until 4 a.m., and he's in there yesterday. How do you discount that? I mean, we're living in a sports culture where load management is the blight of the NBA, and we've got a guy who knows he's got to play because the Angels' only chance to win is if he's in there every day.
Yep.
He is something special, man.
Yep. We also said yesterday, you don't want to be that person 10 years from now who looks back and said, boy, I never enjoyed Ohtani like I should have, right? We've never seen this before again.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's coming around again either. I mean,
yeah.
No.
I mean, it's a generational talent that you can't ignore. I mean, there's so many good stories in baseball this year. He's one of them. I mean, I love Schwarber, what he's doing in Philly, and he was my sleepy dart throw to win the Major League home run title. I don't know if he's going to catch Judge, but he could certainly win the National League crown the way he's going right now. It's been a fun year to watch all this stuff.
Well, if you go back-to-back years, Burns last year, McClanahan this year, and then potentially adding the icing on top of the cake there with Schwarber, dinner's on us anywhere you want to go. Put it that way.
Well, I'm gonna retire at that point. Change 100. I'll be out.
All right. Pre-game spread, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 Pacific every day. Major League Baseball Network. Thanks, pal. We appreciate it.
Good talking to you guys. As always, see ya.
In Great pocket work. Plays coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.